episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drug fucked tonight. Open up to your bum.
Well, a lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
G'day, mates. This is Ken from the community radio pool of announcers, and I've come on here to announce the Rick and Rollo show, episode number 59, on the 13th of December 2025. And over to our hosts, Rick and Rollo.
Oh, dear. Thank you very much, Ken. We're getting these community radio state people doing the back announce. Rollo, are you in the room, Rollo? I haven't seen you.
Yeah, I am.
Fantastic. Where do we get these people from? I think the Truth Meets studio is voluntary, you see, and the only people that we can employ are people that come in for free. And Ken's obviously, anyways, he did a good job. But they all sound like that. Do you listen to community radio stations, Rollo? You worked on one before.
Yeah, but I thought Ken sounded like this last. That must have been another Ken. I'll tell you a story about community radio, and this is a sad story. Or should we talk about each other's week start with, and before we get on sad stories? How was your week? My week. Your week. You just asked me a question.
I'm going to finish the question.
My week was fantastic, really,
because I went to the winner is
Sydney
Wednesday, and I finished the big job that I've been on. You know, 70 hours it took me to do this job, and I put my invoice in, which will completely look after me for Christmas, so I don't need to stress. It's fantastic. And everything worked really well. It's just, you know, it was a really good week. And, the bushfires got put out. I think the Bulardala, Bulardila, it's out now, or it's manageable. And I drove through it was a bit wet yesterday, which has been really good for the bushfires. Bad for the bushfires if you were a fire and you wanted to keep burning. Good for the people that want to be on the road on the Pacific Highway. But, you know, it's been a good week, Rollo. It's been a fantastic week. How was your week?
Mine's a classic. Well, as you know, I'm retired, so I basically don't do a lot. I just keep myself to myself. Feed the dog. That's all right. That's all right. You can say whatever you want.
Well understood.
This morning to get my Imogaloo, it was hilarious because I haven't.
Imogaloo's the name created by Joel. The Imogaloo, which is the vodka. Vodka and cold pressed carrot juice.
That's it. Well, I kind of came up with, but Joel helped me out with that. And you guys really do cheer me up. Anyway, so I spent the whole week. I didn't have a single drink the whole week.
Fantastic, Rollo.
And I didn't have a single cigarette the whole week. Yeah. This morning, I knew that me and you were going to talk tonight on Rick and Rollo 59 on the Saturday, the 13th of December, 2025. I might have a couple of weeks off like John Laws and we might come back in January.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually a lot of fun.
So when do you want to do the last show, Rollo? When do you want to do the last show? Next Sunday?
Up to you. Do you want to, next Saturday? If you want to do next Saturday, will be
Rick and Rollo Christmas.
Next Saturday will be the what will that be?
60. What 60?
My math is
60.
No, it'll be Rick and Rollo 60.
Yeah, it'll be the 20th of December.
So yeah, well, I'll do another one with you. Anyway,
I'm not doing anything. I'll do a probably Be Told show, but that's it. I'm finishing.
That's fine.
Yeah, finishing fine. Up.
You Be Told, or do another Dave Bongol.
That's doing one tomorrow.
Do
probably the last one tomorrow, I'd say, or maybe next week.
All right. Until 2026. So listen to me. So I knew that I was going to have to, and I can't talk sober. So I knew I had to have a few Imogaloos. So this morning I left the house. Oh, Rick and Rollo. Rick and Rollo.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Yes, yes, this is Late Nights with Rollo on Rick and Rollo on 59 on Saturday, the 13th of December, 2025.
I'm the love god. And you're listening
the love
to
god.
Rick and Rollo.
I'm trying today to be Jeff Robertson. Clive Robertson.
Clive Robertson spoke like this. In the ABC voice. Okay. Clive Robertson. ABC
G'day,
voice.
Clive. Oh,
there's a
G'day,
chopper above.
G'day, Clive.
Hang on. Rollo, I think it's Claws. Can you hear it? Here comes the chopper. Oh dear, it's a big one. I think Klaus is coming. Anyway, he'll be here later by the sound of it.
I bet he will.
The chopper's overhead.
Thanks, Clive. So it's Rick and Rollo. So, so this morning.
Yes, Rollo.
After a week not having a drink or a smoke.
Good on you, Rollo.
This morning I opened the door and I walked down to the village.
Yes.
And I got one packet of cigarettes. I only got one, which I smoked half of already.
Jeez.
And,
off for a walk tonight then, will you?
No. Because I can control myself. And anyway, the it's a funny story. It's like I got my bottle of vodka and lemon lime and sodas. I was walking on the way back from Aldi. Yeah, that's right. We're not promoting any particular brand here unless we get paid for it because we're like John Laws. it was hilarious. Anyway, I because I'm so unhealthy and, you know, and sweaty, and there's sweat dripping down my fucking face. I can barely see because I'm sweating. And then I walk in, I pass this bush, and I think I'm seeing smoke, and I'm going, what? What is going on here? Am I seeing smoke? No, it wasn't smoke. It was a whole bunch of flying ants.
It's the flying ants
that all stuck to my face. And they weren't stinging me because they don't sting. I wiped a few off and they were still alive. I didn't want to kill them.
Interesting, Rollo, that John Laws referred to you as a block-headed bastard. If you were actually made of wood.
Big time.
If you were made of wood, made of a block of wood, you'd be in all sorts of trouble right now because the white ants would have started boring into your head. Oops.
They were all alive when I wiped my brow and looked at my fingers, and there's all these ants. So I didn't want to kill them, so I tried to flick them off.
Do yourself a favor, kill them.
They're all in my hair and everything. I had to take a shower to get after. And then Rosie was happy to see me home and whatnot. And that might sound like a boring story, but
no, that's a fairly interesting story. You were attacked by flying ants on the way home.
No, it was just a plague of them that just hit me in the face. I think it was smoke, honestly. Yeah.
You know why? It's this time of year. Well, it used to be November. Now it's kind of moved on a bit through December. The white ants emerge. They emerge out of dead wood and blocks of wood.
That was all.
And and they fly out and they
I've got a couple of other stories because Rosie's away.
Rosie's away.
Do you know what Rosie had for breakfast this morning?
No.
Because I made some boiled eggs because you suggested I should eat boiled eggs.
Yes.
Anyway, there were a few left over from last night. And I didn't because Christy's been away, and I don't trust the treats that you buy from even Aldi or Woolies or Coles. I had two boiled eggs, and I threw them in Rosie's bowl this morning for breakfast.
And she ate them.
She yummed them up.
She might need protein, obviously she's a dog. Dogs can eat eggs, no problem. No problem.
Yeah.
You'll see, no, but you don't want to give her too many because you don't want her getting constipated.
He sniffed a little bit, went, what the fuck is this? Because she never normally gets boiled eggs. He sniffed a little bit and then went,
is this normal? Yeah. I'll have to Google it.
I don't know, but it certainly hasn't hurt her because she's sitting by my side now.
Yeah, the only thing I can say about eating eggs, and I'll tell you now, I listen to Jan Irvin.
The New Zealand way, eggs.
He's on Facebook and he was always on about, you know, he was eating six eggs a day, eating more meat. And so I thought, yeah, maybe I should start eating more eggs. And I had four or five for breakfast one day. A couple of days in a row. And I'm telling you, Rollo, I was in so much agony. I was egg bound. Ooh. They call it egg bound.
Egg bound.
It's IGGBOWND joke. I was constipated and the pain was so severe. Like my gut was like the whole digestive system was like on a slow go thing. And I get to the doctor. And I was in agony lying on the – I actually couldn't sit up. I had to lie on the ground. And he said to me, he goes, you're constipated, but it's from too many eggs. So I'll never do that again.
Oh, right. Well, that's why you've got to do some grinded carrot juice and that.
Yes. I do that not every day, but I do that. Oh, no, yeah. I'll keep telling you. The protocol is cottage cheese, high protein, low fat, and add 2-to-1. So two parts cottage cheese, one part flaxseed oil, and then add raw honey, mix it all up, with a spoon, and you have that twice a day. Now, I've been doing that for now 2 weeks, and I feel way better than I did.
Oh,
I feel
so fantastic. Glad that you, you aren't going to drop off the perch. I really am.
No, I'm not. I did think I was going to. I was, honestly, I'm, you know, cause I'm a hypochondriac and a conspiracy theorist, so I've got the double whammy here. Hypochondriac and conspiracy theorist. Yeah. Anyway, Rollo, did anyone die this week apart from a lot of people on Facebook who keep saying reporting of young people having heart attacks? Young people.
I did. Let me look it up now. Let me grab my phone here. All right. Now, is it Australian people or. I'll ask chat to GT.
Well, there was another cricketer died last week, but apparently he was a bit rogue, really? As they all are. There was a cricketer. That was 2 weeks ago. I haven't heard of anyone famous dropping dead. But you know Lady Gaga? Played in Sydney last night. Lady Gaga. I had friends.
Oh, look,
Sydney.
I loved her. She's a bit of a weirdo. She was in Joker Folie à Deux, remember, with
Joaquin Bottom. 2 years. You waited 2 years patiently to watch this film that ended up being the biggest load of old codswallop.
Oh, ever. It was crap. It was crap. I can't believe Todd Phillips, he wrote The Hangover.
Yes.
Which was a very good movie, but his second and third one sucked.
Well, oh,
and,
really
then bad. he wrote Joker.
Yes.
With Warner Brothers was so happy with it because it cost $50 million or something. And it made a billion, over a billion. Yeah. So you can see why Warner Brothers was getting it.
Can you believe this? That the Oasis, the Gallagher brothers, their tour grossed over $1 billion from what I heard. And I believe that. I believe that. There's enough desperate people to go and pay whatever they were paying. But like, interesting, I was talking to a guy, like a Manchester local, one of the I do, and he reckons that him and his mates bought tickets to Oasis on the second Sydney concert for $100 each. They weren't the best seats ever, but he said that they were desperate to fill the seats, so... That's what they do. Oasis are not as big as people think. They're not like AC/DC where it was like guaranteed to sell out wherever they played. And they're playing tomorrow night in Brisbane. And I think next Saturday night, because my kids, the boys are going up to Brisbane on Thursday to see their granddad on mother's side. And she's going off to watch AC/DC. They're playing Ace in Brisbane next Saturday, apparently. And look, to be honest, I have heard nothing but good things about that tour, the AC/DC, even though they look stupid. And Brian Johnson is...
his voice isn't quite the same.
He's 79. He's just about to turn 80. And Angus is 71. Looks ridiculous.
Okay, so AI says, sorry to cut you off there, Rick.
Yeah, especially
As of today, on December 13th, which is today, Saturday, there's notable deaths reported recently. Australian guitarist Bob Bongo Starkle, Guy Hawks. Didn't we talk about that last week?
Last week, yeah.
Yeah, so Pulitzer winner, playwright, D.L. Collum, writer D. Alana, science reporter John Noble Wilford. See, I don't know any of these people.
Vaccinate. I'll just put the word vaccinated after each one of them when they say science reporter, vaccinated, guaranteed.
Yeah. No, I don't think anyone that means anything to us.
No, there was an 8-year-old. Apparently, a poster child for child vaccines died this week from a heart attack at aged 8. It was on one of the sites, the vaccine type truth.
But did you put that? Did you put that in?
No, not yet.
In the COVID, yeah,
I do. That's a, so Rick and Rollo. To be honest, that's the one that most people are using is the Rick and Rollo's page, and we've got some terrific journalists on there. And Tipper Dean from who's in New Zealand, he is reporting on the Barry, what's his name, who's in court. And they've, this is, can you believe this? And yes, you will be able to believe it. Barry, the whistleblower who was doing the government research on which vaccines were where, and he started noticing that there's an awful lot of people dying in certain areas, and he went online and shared it, and now he's in court, threatening him with jail. There's huge protests in Wellington at the courts.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you wrote this at 3 o'clock this afternoon. I'm listening to Germ Warfare. Mm-hmm. Mike Yeadon regrets being a Pfizer executive.
Yeah, that's
on
really
Podbean.
Good.
Check it Podbean. Out. So Mike Yeadon regrets being a Pfizer executive.
He was a Pfizer executive, but he's also
the episode. Yeah, the episode was recorded by a UK column, Mike Yeadon, a former vice president of scientific officer for allergy and respiratory research at Pfizer, who spent 16 years developing new vaccines, founding his own biotech company.
Yep.
Yeah. See, this is, so I hope that he had nothing to do with, I tell you what, I did enjoy that animated view, animated movie, the COVIDiot, the animated movie that they made.
Yeah, Martha shared that originally, and then I've noticed you've got been
that
sharing
was,
as well.
Yeah, when I saw it, but let's thank Martha for that. That was hilarious because there you go.
Arthur or Martha.
That's right. She did. I reposted it. So here we go. Charlton fan dies during a Charlton clash. With Portsmouth.
Charlton. Is it?
You know how those football players that are, and they do that death spin when they die? It's quite often happens.
Look,
it's a bizarre. People that have had the death jab.
Yep.
Yeah.
The COVIDiots.
Anyway, let's bring it back to the good. It's a good news week. I mean, it's nobody. Do you remember that show?
The song was by a band called Hedgehoppers Anonymous. It came out about 1970, and it's a really good song.
I love the show because he always had a funny take on the guy from the Doug.
ABC, the Doug, show called Newsweek.
Yeah, the Doug Anthony All-Stars, the lead guy. Now, who was the guy? His name was?
They all worked for the ABC.
They did. The Doug Anthony All-Stars main guy.
Paul McDermott.
It was Paul McDermott. Yeah. Paul McDermott, yep. The good-looking one. My wife always fancied him because he's an old.
I question that they fancy too many people. Your mother fancies Elvis.
No, my wife. My wife, not my mother.
Oh.
My wife always fancied Paul McDermott.
He was not good looking. The other two were, like, the other guy who's Richard Feidler is
the guitarist.
Yeah. He'd be what you call a good looking.
Tim Ferguson would be the good-looking one.
They're all working for the ABC, one of them's in a wheelchair. Paul McDermott is in a wheelchair now.
Yeah, but you know why my wife preferred? I forgot his name already.
Paul McDermott.
You know why? Because he was the most charismatic one. He was short.
Was he?
He was short. He was like way shorter.
He's in a wheelchair now.
Tim Ferguson was 6'2". Richard Feidler was 6'1". And Paul McDermott's like 5'9", 5'8". But he was the charismatic one. So he had to work harder for his career. Yeah.
He worked hard for his money.
So hard for your money. Yeah. And that's the funny part in life. Short men have no reason to live. No, that's not correct. Remember that when you were talking about that a few weeks back?
Last week.
You were here. I tell you who I met today. I was at the bar. Guess who I met today? Mel Gibson. The Iron Horse. Okay. And I walked up to the bar, Mel Gibson, and I looked at him and I went,
Rollo,
Mel Gibson,
are we in AI?
And he looks at me and I go, yeah, it's Mel, isn't it? Yeah, and I go, I love you, man. Look, your mate Russell Crowe,
Rollo, and he goes, Mel Gibson, because you didn't meet Mel Gibson. Did you meet someone?
I said to him, could we do a biopic on John Laws? And he looks at me and he goes, John Laws, yeah, I know him. And I go, yeah, it's an Australian legend. And
are we doing a pretend thing at the moment?
I said to him, will you do a biopic? Because, I said, that's all. Can I buy you a drink? He goes, I'll get my hand. I go, all right. I left him alone. He shook my hand. So how about that? I said, can you do a biopic on John Laws? Because he's a producer. He produces films.
Yeah, but
and I would love Russell Crowe to play
John Laws.
A biopic on John Laws, because John Laws is so interesting.
I
think the fact that he could talk to anyone at any time about anything and not be, because I watched a guy called Daniel Boland, and he played a whole thing about Piers Morgan. And do you remember Piers Morgan and Piers Ackerman?
You're listening to
Cricket Rollo 59.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Hello. You're listening to the Rick and Rillo episode number, 59 on the, hang on a minute, let's get me calendar, I'll get my diary out, let's have a look, the 13th of December 2025. Back to the hosts, Rick and Rollo.
Dear idea. That's Ken. All right. Thanks, Ken. Go and sit over there.
Thank you.
Go and have a drink, Ken. Go and have a shandy or something or another, please. Thank you. Rick and Rollo, episode number 59 of the
13th of December 2024. I love Ken. He makes me laugh.
Yeah. This volunteer radio station host. Look, Rollo, honestly, the other day I was driving along and I listened to Two-Way FM. That's the local community radio station here. And there was a guy on there, identical to Ken, either one of them. He was just, like stammering and getting everything wrong and playing. Basically, they just play an Elvis Presley song or a Roy Orbison song. You always know that that's about all they're going to play. I would get on the station 2AFM and blitz it if I could be bothered and become way more interesting, do a really good show. But what would you be able to talk about? You wouldn't be able to have any conversations like we do on the Rick and Rollo show. We wouldn't be able to mention hemorrhaging out his ears and eyes.
That was awful. Yeah, Rick, we kind of know one another. We're not vaxxed, and we don't shout at each other, and we can only if Why would you? Oh, yeah, you shouted at me when I vomited on my balcony.
I didn't shout at you. I said, Rolly, for fuck's sake, surely you can just stand up.
Yeah, you raised your voice at me. Yeah. Can you vomit over the balcony?
The fact that you threw up, it's the fact that you just sit there and throw up over yourself. And I've had three children, and they did that when they were about one, and then they moved on and learned how to projectile vomit.
I vomited on the dog today. And I looked at Rosie and I said, I said, I don't remember eating that. It's a cheap gag, but it worked.
Got you, Roller. But it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, the amount of times, flashback to Rick and Roller shows on Fakeologist Radio, fakeologist.com back in the day, when you were throwing up blood. Because you were drinking so much.
Oh, yeah. I was not only throwing up blood, I was doing the shame warn thing. I was throwing up blood and I was pissing blood and shitting blood. I was not taking any care of myself. I drink carrot juice now, every time I take it, because I drink two or three glasses of Amogelit they're virgin carrot juices.
It looks like blood in the bowl. I've got to contact Christy and make her go out and get you, because you have got to get on the protocol of Russian, of course. Usually it's always Russians are really healthy people, and it's the one I told you about, the cottage cheese flaxseed and honey, and do that twice a day, and that will regenerate the mitochondria of the powerhouse of the cell, guaranteed. You've got to be doing
well,
that.
You say guaranteed. Are you a doctor? Are you a doctor, Rick?
Yes, I am. I've got more. I'll tell you this. I'll say it before. When I did the course I did, when I did the exercise and physiology course back in '87, I did more, and the teacher that lectured us on the dietitian part of the module of the course, he said that a doctor, a Western medicine, they do a one-day course on nutrition, one day. I did 3 months full-time, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. So I'm way more qualified to talk about nutrition.
Yeah, well, that's just because I think you're you could help someone who's in distress or something.
You're a security guy.
How much teaching did they teach you to be security?
Can I just, I'll bring this up again. And when I did security, I got on for the best jobs, for the most money, for the least amount of stress. And I worked in the film industry doing it. That's two different things.
But
I keep telling people, when you do your course and it's full of imbeciles, you don't brag about being a security guard, because it's usually people that have come from other countries that need a job, and they say, you can be a security guard. You see these poor Africans and Indians standing outside banks. I didn't do any of that shit work. But when you do your course, they tell you, and so I think it's a two-day course, that you have less less rights, rights than the public. You've got less rights than the public because you cannot touch or do anything to them. And unless there's been a crime, there's a certain law that there was a protocol that if you witness someone snatching something off a shelf.
I'm talking about when you were security. On a film set, I'm going out to have a dark so city. I have to keep dark, my voice.
Also, Dark City.
Dark City, which is a great movie, which I still remember to this day.
Not a Gnostic nightmare movie yet.
That was filmed in Balmain.
No, Sydney. The location shots were Palm Beach, some inner city stuff, but I was mainly at Fox Studios. Most of that show
was filmed
at Fox Studios.
Most was filmed in Fox. Well, it's still a great movie. I swear to God, it's a. It didn't.
Yeah. You know who's in it? And she's very good.
Kiefer Sutherland and William Hurt.
Because they have to, this is the thing, when they do the deals with these international film companies, there's a certain amount of local talent that has to be employed. And that was the deal. So you'll find that in Dark City, you'll see, she was a really good looking one in Home. Melissa.
Hold on. Let me look it up.
Dark City. And I think see her with the boobs out.
I'll look it up for you.
It was Murdoch's girlfriend or wife when he had a flashback.
Really?
Melissa. She was the main star of Home and Away back in the 90s and 80s.
Oh, yeah. It rings a bell. Dark City. I really did enjoy the movie.
And you know who else was in it? Who was my next door neighbor who I became good friends with? Bruce Spence was in it.
Bruce Spence is
a really, really nice guy. He gave me a box set of Beatles albums unopened that came out in the early 80s.
Oh, what a guy. All right, here we go. Here's the cast. So Rufus Sewell played John Murdoch. Seal. William Hurt played Inspector Frank Bumstead. Kiefer Sutherland played Doctor. Bumstead reminds me of that comic that I used to Blondie. You remember Dagwood Bumstead. Kiefer Sutherland played Doctor Daniel Schreiber. Jennifer Connelly played Emma Murdoch.
She was in it. So I've seen her roaming around. She's a CIA operative. Jennifer Connelly. That was what's his name? Affleck's wife, Ben Affleck's wife.
Oh, Jennifer right. Connelly. Ben Affleck, the guy that played Batman, right?
Yep. She was there too. Forgot about her.
Wow, how about that? Richard O'Brien, who played Mr. Hand. He was in it. Ian Richardson played Mr. Brook. Bruce Spence, your neighbour, played Mr. Wall. He played Mr. Wall. Yep. Colin Freels was in it. Yeah, yes. He was quite a famous.
Balmain.
Is he still with us?
Yeah, he is. He lives in Balmain. That's Judy Davis's husband. Judy Davis, extraordinary.
Oh, Judy Davis. Oh.
Famous Australian actress.
Beautiful.
Who I've met her before, yes.
Oh, good luck to you. She is.
I actually when I was working in the gym, did a program for Colin Freels when he was a bricklayer by trade. And he also went to NIDA, like Judy Davis. And he came to the gym one day and I was chatting away and talking to him for ages. Colin Freels. Yep. He was there. So you go.
Judy Davis was in one of my favorite movies called Who Dares Wins back in the early 80s.
With Lewis Collins.
Yeah.
From Professionals.
Yeah. She has a striking appearance.
She was beautiful. But she's very attractive back in the day, and she was in Who Dares Wins that was the SAS promo for the SAS at number six.
That was great.
SAS six.
Loved it.
I keep going, Melissa. It's Melissa somebody. She's a very good looking blonde actress.
Oh, Melissa George is
Melissa George. Melissa George. Mm. Yep. She gets a gear off in the movie too. Mm. Was I there? No, sadly. No, I wasn't. But,
It might have been a closed set, so you didn't get to see the rumpy bumpy.
This thing about closed sets, a lot of actresses are quite happy to just get the gear off, especially if they think they're going to get famous.
To make a love scene.
Well, I'm telling you, I was doing that job for that film that had the most famous amount of people I've ever dealt with. And I'm talking about Ginger from Gilligan's Island, Tina, what's her name, and many others that welcome to Whoop Whoop.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was on the beach and I had to stop people walking along the sand for ages while they, what's her name, that girl.
Oh, you were, you were freezing your ass off, weren't you? And it was,
I was dressed up in a big, big long black jacket with combat boots and
looking like Keanu or something out of Matrix.
Kind of.
Yeah, man. That my favorite, one of my, I'd say my favorite movie of all time. Sorry, I can't say that Dark City is anywhere near Matrix. Matrix was just
the best. Isn't it strange that those two movies that are both Gnostic, that's with a G, G-N-O-S-T-I-C.
Yeah, Gnostic.
Were both filmed
Gnostic.
Back to back in 1996 and 1997, using the same sets. Literally, the Matrix used the same sets that have been built for Dark City. Well, I guarantee that that's a fact.
That was the Fox studio.
Which is the old, which you would have gone to as a child, where the Easter show was back in the, it was called Sydney Showgrounds. The Sydney
I'm still a bit jelly about that, but, you know, in this Dark City, it had John Bluthal. Now, you don't remember him, but I remember him well.
No.
He was just this little off character, officer hustle. You know, it's just amazing when you film down here in Australia, most of the, you know, when you're going to get William Hurt and Kiefer Sutherland and Jennifer Connelly or,
big stars,
the big stars. Whereas Melissa George
was one of the biggest actresses in Australia back in those days.
Probably off Home and Away or Neighbours.
Famous and very big in England because Home and Away is huge in England. And we'll talk about, so Neighbours ended after 40 years. Is it 40 years? It finished up last episode film. It's finished. Oh, I thought it had finished.
Do you remember Barry Crocker sung that song? Neighbours, yep. Barry Crocker. We'd always use that as a nickname for
Jackie Trent,
what's it called? Rhyming. Sorry to talk over you, Rick, but rhyming slang. You know, if you had a shocker, you fucked Crocker. Up in. Yeah, you call it a Barry Crocker, and that's exactly. And he composed and wrote that song, Neighbours.
No, he didn't. Written by Jackie Trent and the other guy. An English couple. Forget his first. Someone and Jackie Trent, they wrote the lyrics. And it says that when each episode, it says lyrics written by.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. He sang it.
Neighbours, everybody needs good. And I'll say this again: I watched that show, and so many of my friends did as well. It was a good show. It had Guy Pearce, you know, because Guy Pearce is a really good actor.
The actors that I really liked out of Neighbours were Jason Donovan and Kylie. Sorry, but. They were the ones that I really liked. Actors.
Yeah, I don't know about actors. They weren't great actors.
They're more singers or
that's how desperate the English are. The English are so guilty about sending all their people over here as criminals back in the 1800s that they made up for it by grovelling over a crap TV show like Home and Away and Neighbours. And when I was in England 22 years ago.
Long time ago.
I couldn't believe every news. I was walking around and I look at the newspapers. There's these cover paint. Like, that was Kylie and Jason. And they were still big. And Neighbours was such a big show over there. And as this friend of mine said, and he's quite true, this is so accurate, the English live in one of the most bland, horrible weather places ever. And they watch that show to actually see sunshine and beaches because you're not going to see it over there. Apart from maybe 2 days a year.
Proper beaches where you got sand and you don't have.
And Palm Beach. Home and Away shot at Palm Beach, which I'm going to have to say is one of the most beautiful beaches with gold sand, literally. and Avalon. Beautiful beaches.
We're so lucky. We're so lucky here down under.
I've had two swims in the ocean today.
And did you lose any legs?
One
from the shark,
but apparently they grow back. I checked on Fakeologist, and that's a fact that your leg will grow back. I'm hopping around. Hey,
I'm going to do my Maury Fields now. There's this G'day, bloody bungle.
There's two fuckers walking to my bar, Maury Field.
And Shane Bourne, Maury Field, Shane Bourne.
They were funny and good storytellers. Absolutely. Anyway, Rollo, while I was at the beach last week, and my sons, I got both of them here tonight, actually. Mm-hmm. I went to go into the water. My younger son goes, Dad, I think I can see a fin, and you know, because we've got a fatal shark attack 20 minutes from my door the last 3 weeks ago. And there's been four this year in this area. And he goes, Dad, I can see a fin in the water. And I went, I said, look, it's out there. I'm not too worried about it. He goes, Dad, you can't go. Don't go out further. And I went, honestly, I'm the one that's paranoid about sharks, not you, because he's a trained lifesaver. But he could see a fin gliding around near the dolphin, which I wasn't there. I'm not going to swim out to it, but he reckons he could see one, and I couldn't see it. So I went, I went about waist deep in the water, and I dived under. But I thought, I'm the guy that is paranoid about sharks since Jaws in 1974.
He had nothing to worry about. If there's dolphins around, it doesn't matter. Bull sharks, they'll scare them away.
You don't do what the Swiss tourists did and swim out and try and film them, because the dolphins are usually circling the shark to stop the shark eating the fish that they want. But apparently, I talked about it. Did I talk about it? But yeah, apparently,
it doesn't matter.
She got attacked literally 20 minutes from my right from my front door here.
Have you ever seen that? Those really cheap movies called Sharknado.
I love them.
I did too. Yeah. They used to call him Finn.
When back in the 70s, Rollo, as on 70s, because you were born in 69,
Rick and Rollo. 59.
Rick and Rollo.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
I'm the continuity advisor of the Rick and Rollo Show. The December the 13th, 2025, and it's episode number 59. And back to the host, Rick and Rollo.
Piss off, Ken. You've fucked that one up again. It's Rollo, not Rollo. Rollo, get it right. Anyway, back to the host, Rick and Rollo, and we're here talking about shark attacks and the Dark City and Matrix movies.
Yeah, we are. You know who I looked up during the week? You remember the advertising guy, the Tim? Yeah. He says, with the carving knives?
Yeah. He was a big star.
I looked him up. He's still alive, and he's in his 80s or something now. But he'd always say, "And you know, you want something more?
You want more with that? I'll give you a set of steak knives.
I'll give you a steak knives." He would be with Bert Newton doing, because Bert Newton had he was a degenerate gambler, so rest in peace, Bert.
Apparently, we don't mean to talk about. Apparently,
So he had to pay off his gambling debt. So he did all his...
So he was on those shows to pay off his debts. And so Channel 10 had him like...
Yeah, Good Morning Australia. And he would do it religiously.
Someone was paying for his toupee to, you know, it moved. He had no hair, but somehow they glued this weird-looking thing on top of his head.
He didn't mind. He didn't mind. He took it off. Of course he did. There are a lot of famous actors that are totally bald.
Absolute pro host. Yeah. G'day, Bert Newton here, everyone. This is Bert Newton. Really good voice. ABC trained voice, like Clive Robertson. Great
Absolutely.
Voice.
Yeah, he was a
Victorian.
Sorry to cut you off there, Rick. He had to pay because he had a bit of a degenerate son who was, you know,
I met him. That's Matthew Newton. Matt Newton. He was a runner on Dark City. He worked as a runner. You know what a runner is?
Okay.
You go on to get into the film industry, you work as a runner and you just do any stupid job, like, you know, someone.
Yeah. What's Matt doing these days? Sorry to cut you off.
He got hooked on methamphetamine.
Oh, really? Oh, no. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but look, we can go into some dark places here. But I'm not going to, actually, but we can.
All right.
Matt, and he had some serious issues, psychological issues, in nervous breakdown.
He was a good actor. He played a really good part in a sort of an Australian...
The crime thing.
Yeah.
What's it called? That one.
Oh, do you want me to look it up?
There was a whole series of Australian crime dramas, and he played Blue Murder. Can I tell you some stuff? The guys that I worked on Two Hands, you know, with Heath Ledger.
And
Brian Brown. It was a great movie, but because it was all shot at King's Cross. Mm. And because they were dealing with the same crew that did the unit, not Doctor Who unit, but unit on film is the people that do, you know, put the coffee and tea and the food and the tables and they set up the locations and stuff like that. And the guy running the unit told me he was doing unit on Blue Murder, which was a TV show about the Sydney drug wars of the 1980s. And he reckons that one day a Ferrari pulled up and said, "Oh, so what are you working on?" And it was asking him questions. And he said, "Oh, you know, we're doing this thing." And because it was involving they were playing Roger Rogerson and Nettie Smith and all that, he reckons he went to his car that night and there was a syringe filled with a red liquid sitting on the front seat to say, "If we want to get you, we're going to get you. So you just make sure you're not doing anything to offend us." And he had a nervous breakdown just afterwards. And I was like, "Are you fucking serious?" But I totally believe him.
Do you remember wouldn't let that go here in New South Wales? Like it would be played in Victoria.
Yeah, because
in Queensland, but not here in New South Wales.
We're talking about Underbelly, and Matt Newton was in Underbelly, the series of many, many different shows of Underbelly that got filmed, which was a sequel to Blue Murder, which was about the Melbourne drug wars, and then it also morphed into more Sydney crime problems.
Geez, we got some good TV shows back then, didn't we? We got Absolutely. Really good gritty TV shows where you say it's fiction, but it's not fiction.
It's not fiction.
How do you write stories like this?
One of the main characters in Blue Murder, not the main character, but Gary Sweet played the hitman Flannery. I was close friends with the guy that got charged with killing him, allegedly, and he went to jail for 10 years. Six years, rather. And two of them in solitary. And he got off all the charges. And I knew, because I heard all the stories, all this stuff happened. It was the heroin wars, when heroin came via the CIA, I'll just say that one, into Sydney in the 70s. There were turf wars going on, and now we've got the same thing going on in Sydney right now, because the Afghanis have moved in on the Lebanese and the Turks, and there's just nothing but fucking gang warfare going on and shootings left, right, and centre. It's really happening because these guys are moving.
Isn't that crazy when we've all been disarmed?
Yeah, but they've got no problem with them getting semi-automatic weapons and handguns.
Isn't that crazy? Hey, Rick, it's the funniest part of Australia. That, isn't it crazy that, with the cops that have a Glock on their hip, and they're the biggest criminals of them all.
Yeah, and they are.
Every single one of them.
Well,
and I avoid them. I avoid them like a plague.
Yeah. Well, a guy who knows told me, he said the biggest, most dangerous gang in Australia is the cops. And he said they've got carte blanche.
Well, they are a gang. They are a gang. And because John Howard, after fucking in 1996, after Port Arthur bullshit, with Martin Bryant.
That was predicted.
He wanted
who said the only way we're going to get rid of guns in Australia if there's a massacre in Tasmania. He said that 10 years before the Tasmanian operation went on. Yep. And they're all
in the same clique, and they're all.
If you want a shotgun over here or a .22 to shoot rabbits, you've got to go through a fucking psych test to get them. Literally,
it's just crazy.
You've got to have a wall safe, mounted wall safe with, bolted into the wall to keep your ammunition. It's so difficult.
Do you know what I've got to, if anyone breaks into my house,
nothing.
I've got a baseball bat.
Yeah.
I'll be swinging for the fence. If you are not welcome, and you know how to use a baseball bat. I've hit a home run.
I was an awesome player. Fantastic. I bet you were. That was my game.
That's
the only game I was good at. I could not tolerate
Rick. I still like to own a Glock, though. I still like to own a Glock. I could fill you holes.
But I could. I could get one and have a gun safe. Because my brother's got...
No, I don't want a gun safe. You know why you have a gun safe? Because most... I've heard... This is the statistics. Most of them are used if you have a Glock handy, you either kill yourself or you kill your family, then kill yourself.
Yeah, that's what they said. There's so many stories of fathers going mad and shooting all their kids. And I was like, there's a couple that I would like to go through and have a look at of course. But these were really suspicious stories that they were demonizing this gun ownership. And they said, the guy joined a gun club 3 years ago, then he gunned his whole family down in Sydney. There's about 10 stories you could quote, this has happened. I suspect that none of those things happen, but they just do not want the public in Australia owning guns because there's too many awake people over here. That's why there's so, look at fakeologists. Yeah, there's a few Americans on there, but there's an awful lot of Australians that are awake, and truthmeats.com's certainly got a number of them. There's a lot of awake Australians, especially after what we went through in COVID. They woke an awful lot of people up. But if you want to go and get a gun now, you're not going to get one if you're using medical marijuana, forget about it, gone. If you've had a diagnosis of depression, forget about it, you're not going to get one. Extremely difficult to,
I've still got that. I'd love to have open carry.
That's never going to happen, Rollo. It's never.
Yeah, because if a cop came up to me and it was Avan Carey, and I say,
Rollo,
is there a problem?
We're losing our social credit numbers right as we talk.
Trust me. We'd all be respectful to each other because the cop would just come up.
Is it Texas?
Mm. Mm. Yeah, Texas. Open carry.
Well, I love my clients that I got, the South African, and there's a report on the story of some guy running. If this was South Africa, he goes, all bets are off. You pull out a gun, you're dead, because everyone's got a gun over there. You know, and he's 100% correct. There's no mass shootings in South Africa because every guy's got a handgun and knows how to use it. And you'll never see some kind of roaming. You know, this guy was shaking his head. He goes, you pull out a gun over in South Africa and try and shoot the public, all bets are off. You're dead. Dead.
That's right.
And he's not joking. Yeah. That's the way it is. Back in the day, everyone had a gun, a 22 or a shotgun in their cupboard to go duck shooting or rabbit shooting or whatever.
Sure.
And there was no such thing as home invasion. Now, the biggest crime in the communist hub of Victoria in Melbourne, the People's Republic of Melbourne, is home invasions. In a town an hour from me now, 45 minutes, Kempsey, it's home invasions. Taree, home invasions. Because they've disarmed the well-meaning public that used to have a shotgun or a 22 or a whatever, or a 303 or a 762, whatever. They haven't got them anymore.
But that's not good for close-up.
If you think that if you're going to do a home invasion and the last person you're going to target is a guy that's got a rifle or a shotgun, particularly a shotgun. No one's stupid.
Oh, yeah.
But over here, these young Aboriginals, and yes, that's who's doing most of the home invasions around this area, in Kempsey and Taree, they know that most people have not got a gun in their house, so they target that house and they go in there and they get their keys. It's going on in Port Macquarie now, more and more.
But the thing is, the lefties would say that we've taken over their land or something.
Yes.
What did they have to do with us?
Nothing.
They had nothing to do with me.
Fucking sausage.
Yeah. So you come into my fucking house, which I take really good care of, and my dog, you mess with me, and you come into my house.
And all bets are off.
And try and, all bets are off. I will swing a baseball bat because I don't have a Glock.
All you need is a pen, a pen in your pocket, right?
I remember that scene.
But I'm
Robert
not joking.
De Niro. No, I know you're not.
It's you stick it in their eye. Or you stick it in their throat. That's that fast. And they're finished. But if you've got to get close enough to do it, and you've got to have the guts to be able to fight back. Most people aren't trained to do that.
That's what I do.
And that's the way it is. And the other day, and that I shared that thing, and it's a fact. You know, there's an ambulance officer. They were trying to help an iced methed up lunatic. And I dealt with it. I've dealt with a couple before. You cannot expect fair play if someone's on meth and having a drug psychosis. You've got to use every technique under the book to fix them permanently. And this guy was he was attacking an ambulance naked in Perth, was it? I think it was Perth.
You're telling a story, mate.
Didn't you look at it? I shared it on the balcony, and
let me have a look.
Sunday night, Monday maybe. He's naked, having a drug psychosis attack, and he dived on the front of the ambulance, and they're trying to drive it in reverse backwards. He was using his head to smash the window open. Then he got enough of a crack, and he put his fist through the window, severing, bits and pieces of his skin. And I said, I would have just got the scalpel, the medical pack, as I said, to the driver, get the scalpel out, and I would just open that guy's wrist up, and he would have been finished. you know, gone.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have known it.
It would have bled out. But Thursday night, I was in Sydney in Asheville, which is full of methadone clinics.
Oh, right.
Anyway, there was a guy roaming around having drug psychosis. And I don't know if, unless you've encountered a drug psychosis, they are not physically, they are at a different level of anger. And he was roaming around screaming, and he was punching fences. You could hear this fist, you know, he probably was breaking his bones as he was doing it. The only way to deal with a guy like that is take them out permanently. You cannot. The strength that they have is phenomenal. I've been in a situation where three people had to hold one guy down, barely enough. He could, you know, it was just incredible. Drug psychosis and methamphetamine together is, you know, so unless you're trained or you think you can talk them out of it, which you won't be able to do, you've got to use dirty tricks, and that's, you know, bleed them out.
It's not a dirty trick.
Survival. It's survival techniques.
Yeah, you can imagine. Can you imagine the blood cleanup?
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, you'd say, look, this is going on. So I listened to this guy roaming down. He was on the back of the where I stay. I'd just come through the gate, and I could hear him coming down the road, and he was going, you fucking, noise. And he was smashing his fists on fences as he was coming down the road. He was on the phone, probably screaming at his, you know, dealer or his whatever. And I was thinking, you know, I locked the gate behind me as I walked in. I was thinking, this guy's fucking...
Don't blame you.
Yeah, but he could have come through, but there's no rules. There's no rules of engagement when you're dealing with something like that. You just got to take him out. And if you can, that's in good luck. But the only way is, again, airways, remove it. And that's the simple throat punch or a pen. Boom. Stick it in there.
Every time you mention that, it reminds me of Goodfellas when...
Yeah, he kills the guy.
Yeah, Rick and Rollo, 59.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Hey, Rollo, you can do your show. I'll go and have a shandy.
Shandy, tonight has left us forever.
Was that Shandy, the Kiss song?
That was Kiss. Remember the, I read a story about Gene Simmons or something the other day.
Yeah, it's funny. He's alienated a whole lot of people because he's running down Peter Criss and Ace Frehley, and a guy that was the president of the Australian Rollo. I'm not joking. There was a guy, the ex-president of the Australian Kiss Army, and you will remember of the Kiss Army.
I was.
He said, "I am not putting up with this anymore." Apparently that Gene Simmons has just gone, fuck, Ace Frehley was a junkie, useless this, and Peter Criss, useless. And he's running down the original lineup. And this guy said, I've quit my membership. I'm ashamed to say that I've been a 50-year. Is it 50 years? We're getting close. 50-year Kiss Army member.
That's so funny.
Look, honestly, Gene Simmons is getting old and grumpy. And look, me and you are getting old and grumpy, old and miserable.
Yeah.
And we are. We're getting old and grumpy.
Now, you posted, now, what was it?
It was Bon Scott.
It was the thing that, it was Bon Scott.
And Molly Meldon.
Yeah, talking to Molly Meldrum. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. If we had Velocet here, he could play it for us.
He's not here.
He's not here, but that's okay. Molly's
interviewing and saying, you know, apparently Kiss has gone behind you. And he said, what do you think about Kiss? And he said, well, he goes, yeah, they did. They helped out. He goes, it's not going to be, we're a different, but he's basically saying we're a different band. He goes, what's the name of the bass player that guy? He goes, he's a really famous guy. And Molly couldn't even name him. So it must have been the late 70s. And he goes, he's asking the cameraman, he goes, what's the name of the bass player? Apparently he's really famous, but I don't know his name. And I thought, that is the fucking funniest thing ever. He couldn't remember who Gene Simmons was. But Gene Simmons claims that, you know, he'll claim that they made AC/DC as big as they were because they invited them to support them back in 78, 79.
Yeah.
Which would have been true. Because they were
One of the funniest stories I ever heard was when Shirley Strawn was talking about when they were in Skyhooks,
yeah,
and they were supporting AC/DC when they were nobodies, and Shirley Strawn was
AC/DC Shirley, would be supporting Skyhooks.
Yeah, AC/DC you got it right. Was supporting them, and then you know they shot off into the stratosphere.
Oh my God!
When you see that
chemical thing of Bond being as wild as he was, and Malcolm and Angus, and Phil Rudd on drums, and Mark Evans on bass, it was a perfect combination just to happen. And then you had Angels and Rose Tattoo, exact same time, all Albert's records. And I'm saying 100% suspicious. And Albert's records come from the Black Nobility, guaranteed. But that band and their albums, this created so many people to get onto. They were like Rolling Stones, and the Rolling Stones are big, huge admirers of AC/DC. Huge amount.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
They're pushing cigarettes, alcohol, and drugs. The triumvirate for getting rid of the useless eaters. Those bands took out more than vaccines of alcohol. Honestly, they did because the music gets you into, you want to drink, drug, and smoke when you listen to AC/DC, Rose Tattoo, Angels, guaranteed.
Yeah.
All three of them were using drugs. Especially Rose Tattoo, but there was heroin issues there. AC/DC, no heroin issues, but they had alcohol and milk.
I tried it.
And cigarettes.
A couple of times, but.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe.
It's like cocaine. It's like anything extremely addictive.
Yeah,
there are so many addictive drugs these days.
A friend of mine who was a social junkie, he said he said heroin is sex. Sex.
Yeah. Oh, same with amphetamine. Seriously, you've had sex with so many more women than I've ever had in life.
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the drugs that would make.
I've barely had.
I was around pre-AIDS, Rollo, when there was, and especially in New Zealand, where you went out and you had fun. There was no one was worrying about AIDS or things like that. You know, it was just like one night stands was just a normalized thing. Thanks to Rolling Stones and
nothing wrong with one night stands.
Well, there are so many. It's not good for your mental health, though, particularly for women. You know,
I'm talking about when we're 18, 19, 20, not when we're in our, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s.
Yeah, that's
now
what I'm talking
about. Now we're in our 60s. Yeah.
In 1979, 80, there was no such thing as worrying about what you're doing. And the Rolling Stones and the Beatles pushed the whole thing, guaranteed, you know, especially the Rolling Stones, you know, let's spend the night together, you know, all this stuff from the 80s. And that's why so many marriages crumbled and the, you know, all the marriages from the 60s were just disasters. And there was,
but there's, you know, all these new apps on your phone where you can meet.
God help us. If me and you were around back in those days and you had an app that you could swipe left and swipe right for a one night stand,
I just say, what's wrong with
going to bars and do the eye contact thing to go and to find them, you know, to do that, the eye contact. I couldn't just sit at home and go, oh, this one looks good, and swipe left, swipe right, swipe left, swipe right. No.
And they come and knock on your door and you
I had that happening pre internet when I won't go on about it, but you could have fun, let's just say that, because there was none of the stigma of people, you know, having sex and dying from some mythical disease. Mythical, and I'll say that again, mythical disease.
I'll say it too.
Yeah, mythical disease.
Yeah, yeah. Call me.
Oh, and Rollo.
Oh, Blondie. Blondie, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Who didn't want to have sex with her?
Well, as a 61-year-old now, I look back and look, she is an extraordinarily attractive female. She's got the cheekbones, the eyes, even without makeup, Debbie Harry is beautiful. And that photo of her circa, 78, I'd say.
Yeah, she was, with a knickers, very proud of that photo. Well, the knickers.
She had that Heart of
Glass song, which was even better than Call Me, I reckon, Heart of Glass.
Debbie Harry.
Where I made that joke, that you've got a chin of glass. If I put one on your chin. It was a joke. Yeah. And I know you got it. She was great. I remember as a kid, I fancied Debbie Harry.
You were kind of implying that she was a bit of a go about, but no, she wasn't. She married Chris Stein in the '70s,
and luckily
they're still together now. So no, she's no slut. She's a faithful woman, but she was a Playboy bunny in 1968, and very good looking. And you look at the Playboy bunny shots of Debbie when she was, you know, 18, 19. And
beautiful. I would have been, how old? I was born in 69. When that was a hit, I would have been, so that would have been 1978. So I would have been 8 or 9 years old when I heard that. Heart of Glass. Yeah. Call Me.
It was a fan. Still found out the pain of years.
Yeah, great song.
Brilliant.
She also introduced rap music, though. Remember that? She was actually instrumental, just like she's probably a situationist as well, but Malcolm McLaren, he was the guy that pushed rap into the white middle class or upper class.
I remember, yeah.
You know, with his, that.
I was a little bit older in 1983 when I remember. Push the Dutchie by the left hand side.
No. It was the song. It was the three da-da-da girls round the outside.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
That song.
See, we're so close to the same age. Now, the,
Buffalo Girls.
Have we spoken about the Supergirl, the way that they're using that in the new... My son
just told me that they just, so there's two movies. Rollo, we're going to talk about this. They just dropped yesterday the latest trailers for the new Avengers and Supergirl.
Yeah.
And so the new Avengers has Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doom, which is, and a whole lot of new Avengers. It's not the same Avengers as we had Because Robert Downey Jr. was Iron Man. Now he's Dr. Doom. He's the bad guy.
Yeah, now he's Dr. Doom. Yeah, because the Roos brothers, they know where, you know, what side their bread is buttered. He's gonna bring in. Well, I don't know. Is he gonna bring in a crowd or not? Rollo,
I'm telling you that this new Avengers movie is going to be, and I just know because my youngest son is, you know, this is why, even though I'm 61 years of age, I know I'm in there with the young people. So I've got, you know, youngish 18-year-old children.
You got kids.
So apparently everyone's been waiting for this new trailer for the Avengers, and it's getting released in December next year. So they've already released it. It's a year long. You've got to wait for this film. The hype is huge. Also, I'll talk about this, and I should bring him out and discuss this. He's here with me tonight.
The
Oscars of the gaming world came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he was saying how corrupt it is, which is very interesting to me.
Oh, yeah.
And so what they're doing is hyping up these games. Dave Joe knows all that stuff as well. But what they're doing is they're having this. And so what's his name? He just played in the winner is Sydney. What's his name? Co-hosted it.
Tim.
Lenny Kravitz came out.
Oh, yeah.
So he was part of it. And I said to, I said, surely this is going to be bigger than the Oscars already, because more of you, your age, are into gaming than watching movies.
Every time you say Lenny Kravitz, all I think is, are you going my way?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Apparently his concert in Sydney was that good. Because it was right sandwiched in between Metallica, Oasis, and AC/DC. And the people that were saying, they were saying it was like a religious experience how good that concert was. And my ex went to see it. So I don't talk to her, but if I did, I'd ask her how good was that concert. She went to see it.
How did you know your ex went there? Did she? Did she tell you? On Facebook or something?
No, my son told me.
Your son told you. Oh, and now you feel so jelly.
No.
Yeah.
Listen, concerts to me as a 61-year-old means, unless you've got friends.
It means how much out of pocket are you?
Well, forget about the money. You're queuing up to go to the toilet and queuing up to get a drink. Fuck that. Unless you are old, a $1,000 ticket. I am old, but $1,000 ticket.
At least you made it.
Like, I did exactly.
At least you made it. Like, you know, when I said to John Laws, I'm 47 today, and I was so happy, and he goes, "Well, I'm glad you made it." And I go, "Well, yeah, he made it to 90."
Can I just tell you another weird coincidence? Yesterday, the job I've been on. For the last 70-hour job I talked about. Guess who the surname was of the, and I only found that out yesterday when a package got delivered and I had to sign for it while I was at the house. Newton John. And I went, that's an unusual name, Newton hyphen John. Yeah, it was. It's the niece.
Olivia.
Yeah, Olivia.
And oh, I was nice.
At the house, and
no one porch pirated from your.
I'm 1 degree. I am cursed in life. I'm not the interesting person, but I'm always 1 degree away from someone way more interesting than me, so I can talk about it. Yeah, so I just spent 70 hours at a Newton John household, which I've.
I was so sad when she died. She was so good in Greece. Yeah, Libby. I mean,
beautiful voice. Like Olivia Newton-John, her 70s songs are perfect songs.
My favorite song of hers was "Let's Get Physical, Physical." No. Let's get.
I like.
Well, what about Xanadu?
Yeah, I love
Xanadu.
That. I love that. That's a great song, and that was from the movie Xanadu, and it was also featuring Electric Light Orchestra.
ELO. ELO. And
I've got a beautiful.
Do you remember the actor? The actor. It was his last before he died. The very famous actor was in Xanadu. It was such an awesome movie because it was 1980, I would have been 11 years old.
Xanadu is in my big book of the 50 worst movies ever made. I think it's in there.
Yeah. Probably. Where they're all on roller skates.
That's terrible. But I love that song. You hit the nail on the mark. And that was written by the, you know, what's his name from ELO? Jeff.
I love ELO. Yeah,
I love that. That's a great song, and she can sing, and her song that all her songs were fantastic. She's got a beautiful voice. Apart from that one you just said, I don't like Physical.
I love the film clip. The film clip where she is looking so sexy with all the muscle men in 1981. Yeah, It was just so funny.
I can remember listening to Casey Kasem's top 100 or top 50.
Can you do a Casey Kasem?
Well, no, but he is a fucking talent, that guy. I mean, that guy had a great voice.
He's super the best. Fast.
Wasn't he Shaggy as well? He was Shaggy from.
He was. And there was a real controversy. There was a real controversy. Yeah. Zoinks. Zoinks.
Zoinks. Zoinks.
And you know what? There's a thing about Casey Kasem.
Scooby-Doo was an absolutely fantastic kid show.
Yeah.
And we've now been given in the fake world and the fake media, we get Scooby-Doo stories like when there's a mass shooting and we've got the guy and he's written a manifesto. We've got a manifesto that he's going to do all this. It's like Scooby-Doo justice every news story.
You got it correctly. He do the top 100 and they keep repeating it over and over again.
It is still syndicated. You're listening to
Rick and Roller 59.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Okay, Rick and Roller 59. This is Casey Kasem. I can't do the voice.
It sounds like he's had a line of coke after, and I bet you he was doing a line of coke after every bumper.
Do you know he was a vegan?
Was he?
Or a vegetarian? Yeah, a vegetarian. He was a vegetarian.
He would have died in his 40s if he was a vegan.
Oh, his top 40s that he would do, and they still play them on syndication.
They do, absolutely.
You can find them not that hard.
What was the one we've shared it before on the Fart podcast where Casey Kasem blows up when something goes wrong?
Yeah.
He fucking goes off, you know, because he's got an ego on him.
Oh, yeah. He went ballistic one night where he goes, I've got to read about a fucking dog. A fucking dog is like, and he's talking to his producer and he goes, my fucking dog's died. I have to. And someone secretly, well, not secretly recorded. Not he's secretly, on radio.
This happens all the time. It's the Christmas, they call it the Christmas bloopers reels that they did off famous.
That's it. Yeah.
John Laws.
Yeah.
There's fucking dust everywhere. Who's,
and apparently,
oh, yeah, that's right. With anyone
that sat in John Laws' chair while he was on holiday,
oh, yeah,
retired your career afterwards. You're done for. So, you know, you couldn't sit in John Laws' chair or use his golden microphone. Well, that's a guarantee. Classic. I would say Joel will be the same if someone came in and took over Joel's golden microphone, which he's got.
Joel's a lot younger than us. Joel's hasn't he?
20 years. He is in the 30s.
He's in his 30s.
He's an old 30-year-old. So
he's a great old producer. I wonder if he could play Dave J's.
Rollo, AI is like getting a plastic birthday cake.
Okay.
And someone says, isn't it delicious? And you go, well, it's a bit plasticky, but tell me, you're so clever for making. Like, it amuses you. To me, it's like, because he's got the ability to use it. Good on him. But it's not, I want organic humour. I want organic music. I want someone that's actually created something for real.
Like what's on Hey Hey It's Saturday Night.
Back in the day. Yeah. It's like,
when we were kids in the morning, we liked Hey Hey It's Saturday. And then
I don't want a plastic birthday cake. It looks fantastic. It's got everything about looks and it sounds good, you know, if it makes whatever, but when you eat it, it's fucking plastic. And AI is just the cheap way of, taking out a lot of people's talent. And it's going to do that. There's going to be songwriters, electronic music. It's gone.
Rick, sorry to talk over you, but that's the world we live in now.
No, not the world.
Well, you are a part of it because we're talking now.
We're not fucking playing it. I'm telling you right now. We'll play some decent music after we finish the show tonight.
Now,
I would say AC/DC or something, you know, that's organic and it's, you know.
But everyone's heard AC/DC.
I don't give a fuck. They can rehear it again. Or can you write your own song and come out something better? But I'm sorry. Because Dave wrote the lyrics to that stuff that we did last week. So that's a different level. But if it's just
I sent the Betty version of Too Good to Dreams. Let's ask Velo to play it now. He might be listening and can play it. Too Good to Dreams by Betty, and I always call it Dolly Parton, the Dolly Parton version. See if he's listening in.
No, he's not. He's not. So we're gonna No, it's not a shame because it's artificial music. I don't eat artificial sweeteners. I don't eat artificial food. Anything with the word artificial in front of
good
me
is not part of my. You'll live longer.
I'm not playing artificial music, and that's not real music. I want real composers, real musicians, totally organic. That's the way it's going to be. That's the way it is. Australia, that's the way it is.
Be told.
Yeah. No, that's the way it is. What you can do is, and it'll be, people will be amused by it. You do a show.
Yeah.
And just say it's going to be all AI. Or, you know, use AI music. That's not going to be, I'm not part of that. It's not part of my life. And it never will be. Ever.
It is a bit tricky when you watch.
You don't know what's real or not, Rollo, and I'd rather.
When you're on the screen, yeah, exactly.
We're already seeing
on radio.
We're already seeing people like I've got this chick, you know, that keeps sending me all these fucking her you know, she's calling herself a DJ now, and she's doing a hair, she does hair extensions. She's a hairdresser. She's a very gifted hairdresser for sure. But she's using her face is now using filters. And I know, yeah, back in the day when I was canoodling with her, she was a 28-year-old or 26-year-old and good-looking, et cetera. She doesn't look like that anymore. She does not look like that anymore. But
no,
if you look at her videos that she shares, she looks like a 20 or 18-year-old with big, huge eyes and no wrinkles. Now, I'm sorry. I don't want part of that life. I want real people. I'd rather see a wrinkle. I'd rather smell
a wrinkle. A wrinkle. What about you? You were trying. You were going to get a plastic surgery because you were worried about it.
What'd you say?
That was a joke.
And I jokingly said I'm going to the Vietnamese butcher in Asheville to get him to do a cheap plastic surgery thing because that's what's happening. You know, that's there are people getting there's all these dodgy beauticians offering plastic surgery cheap, and there's been several women have had breast implants that have died because they've been told that they were qualified, and they're actually not qualified to do any of this stuff, and they've used painkillers that have, you know, was ketamine, fucking fentanyl, and they've overdosed on the table while they're doing these cheap operations, eye surgery, et cetera, et cetera. This is what's happening because everyone's into this AI shit and I'm not into it. Take your AI and fuck off. That's my best advice. I'm not interested. I want real. I'd rather have a wrinkle or a BO than smelling someone with the Lynx effect under their arms. The Lynx toxic poison that kids are spraying on their bodies, including people around here, I'll just say that, it stinks. I'd rather have natural body odor than smelling an artificial whatever. So if you like artificial and computer screens, go and take a hike and go and do it elsewhere. Not on any show I'm on.
Do you know who you remind me of? You remind me of. There was a song called "Do Tear It Down" by Spy vs. Spy.
Yeah, it's a great band, and you know that they're still around, Rollo.
You look exactly like him.
No, I don't. You told me I also look like a drummer from Cold Chisel.
Cold Chisel's drummer now.
No, Midnight Oil. Rob Hurst.
He's not well at the moment. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, that sucks.
Tonight, when we go, we'll play Cold Change, the best song that Midnight Oil ever did, as far as I'm concerned. Cold Change by Midnight Oil. Great song. Back in there when they were angry and full of energy. Was he a lawyer then? He probably was, old Peter Garrett. But that's a great song.
Peter became a wasn't he a raving lefty?
He's always been a raving. He's always been a charred socialist.
Yeah, he wasn't a good politician. He wasn't that good as a politician.
No. But you know why? Because he's got a heart. He cannot be a politician with a heart. And I think Peter Garrett's got a heart.
What was your favorite Midnight Oil song? I forget.
I just said it. Cold Change. And it's about the
Cold Change. My favorite song of his was Dead Heart.
No, I don't like that. Rollo, we played two AI songs last week, so you're banned.
But that was Dave J. But Dave J. was being.
You shared it. You shared it. And it was good.
I didn't play it.
Joel
our producer.
So you've had your AI fun, but you're not going to get another one tonight. I'm going to tell you right now. And you won't get on the last Christmas edition of the Rick and Rollo show next Saturday. We'll do something completely organic, real music from real musicians, not AI.
Well, this is organic. So it's been great talking to you, Rick. So we're going to go out with again.
I'll change.
Midnight Oil, Peter Garrett. Peter Garrett, who...
I think it was that, to me, before they became, raging lefties, telling you that you shouldn't own property. No,
it wasn't raging lefties. It's because he became a politician.
He did become a politician, but they've also jumped on the Aboriginal thing bandwagon.
He's 6 foot three, isn't he?
More than that. But he was actually was, before he became famous, a international body surfing champion. Can you believe that? Body surfing. You just heard it first on the Rick and Roll. Cold Change by Midnight Oil, which I think it's got energy, and that, it's a great clip if you ever watch the video. Just to see him, 6 foot four, the wingspan on the guy, he's got his arms are that wide, huge fingers.
He's amazing. They're blue sky mining
political and a bit. What I would like to say to Peter Garrett, who owns a huge amount of property up in the southern hot, up near Narooma and Kangaroo Valley. He needs to give all his property to the Aboriginals before I give it to the Aboriginals. If he thinks they should get it, he can give
it. There's no one more whiter than Peter Garrett. He's the whitest of white guys.
We need to give it back.
Or you give your property back, Pete.
So, yeah, that's what you're talking about, is the fact that they've stolen land or whatever.
How about you hand your property, which I know you've got, a huge, huge, huge property in the southern... Yeah.
Give it back to the Abbot.
Aborigines. Aborigines. But cold change. Before they became politically bent, they did a great album.
I heard he was born with a silver spoon in his ass.
Lawyer. And he's a lawyer. Work that one out.
Right, but he couldn't.
You want to keep talking?
Whatever you want to do, hang up on me. No. That's the perfect thing, is hang up on me, it's the perfect thing.
Have I had to say Julie Andrews once on this conversation?
I would say
this is our greatest show we've ever done. If you listen back, we've got some really really controversial conversation on the show, guaranteed.
Say Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews. And then I'll keep talking till I say Julie Andrews, and Rollo will be back.
There you go. See? It works as a binary thing. See, we know our friendship.
Right, how are the Christmas decorations on your street? Has everyone put their Christmas decorations on their houses?
Perfect. They're all beautiful. I couldn't be asked.
I'm
it was raining so hard the other day, and I down there. You know, in that penthouse suite that you slept in. And the gutter had leaves in it, and I went and put got the leaves out of the gutter. So you would have been proud of me.
I would have been. No, I'm already proud that you're actually house proud and you're cleaning you're doing your lawns and whippersnippering and everything, mowing.
Fantastic. Everything about it.
That's because when you called me. The difference between you, Rollo, 2025 on, December the 13th? Is it right there? And that Rollo from 2 years ago, even 1 year ago, before you sold the property where you're living at Christie's place, and the cops, and getting tasered. No, you didn't get tasered. I can't believe you didn't get tasered. That that baffles me.
I got smashed about. I got raped.
Yeah, but they, you know, they threw you down and put the knees on your back when that time. The time you told them that you had a gun and that you were going to come down and shoot them.
That was me pissed out trying to make a joke.
Yeah, but it's not a good joke to make with the cops, Rollo. I just have to say that.
Obviously, I've learned.
You're
it's
listening.
Like Luke Skywalker. We all, you know, we learn from our mistakes.
What did Luke
and
Skywalker
obviously,
learn?
Don't say you've got a whole bunch of condom full of coke on my bum. So they go fishing around in there. So yeah, the biggest mistake. I'll never make that mistake again.
No, I would never.
If Mr. Laws comes up with a blue uniform and a badge and a gun, I'll you know, and has anything to do with me, I will just say, now you listen to me.
Can I just while we're talking about. If you want to see some most interesting out there stuff on is the typos page on Fakeologist Discord. That guy he's got the mind of just this chaos of mind. He shares this incredible amount of weird, old, interesting, to me, really interesting.
I like him.
He is fantastic. And his the bear reviews and things like that. Get a bit, you know, it's not good listening if you've, you know, because you'll start.
He's incredibly annoying to talk to, but
he can be.
But he can be because he lives above. What's it called? An off license. An off license. Where he can, and he's got no problems with, he's got so much, you know, you can just go down there and buy a bottle of whatever.
He must have money because, you know, Beryl passed away, a couple of years ago.
That's right.
His mom.
There's nothing wrong with that. You've been given a whole bunch of money. But he likes to talk on audio, but it is so difficult sometimes.
He shared some stuff. I was just going through some of his incredible. And I was, as Ivan Cutler, who's a Scottish poet of, he's like the John Cooper Clarkson of Manchester. You're listening to
Rick and Roll at 59.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
You're listening to Rick and Rollo, episode number 59 on the 13th of December, 2025. We're talking about
the great typo error. His name's Chris, and tried to get him, Del Qua, and we tried to get him over on a $50 flight.
You invaded Del Qua's private life, and you Del Qua, because your mother had just died, and and Del Qua must have said,
Collins' grave. He did all this thing. He took me up to Northern Ireland. We went to Northern Ireland. We had a great time. And all we wanted was typo, Chris, error.
I'm going to meet you.
And I paid $50. He couldn't find his fucking passport. The fucking dumb cunt could not find his passport. Christ, you fucking. And we waited. We waited at Dublin Airport and for him to arrive on and we waited in there. This is 19 99 or whatever. I can't remember when. No, whatever it was. It must have been after that.
It was about a year before I met you online.
On anyway, we went up to Northern Ireland. We saw all the murals. It was wonderful.
Is not they're called murals. Murals, not Muriel.
Mural. Mural wedding.
Yeah, Muriel's wedding. Yeah, very good. Anyway, he's got this chaotic mind, but I love it because he shares this random stuff out of the ether that's coming into his brain. Ivan Cutler stuff. He shared this amazing 60s song I'd never heard before, which was fantastic. I clicked like. So you got to go into Fakeholders Discord, and there's typo is spelt upside down. But if you go on there, and if you're interested in eclectic, weird stuff, the guy's an expert at it. But yeah, he can take over especially if he starts typing. Typo and typing, and he's on the, it will take over a page.
Yeah,
but I'm a big fan. Big fan.
He's harmless. He's
of course he is.
Like
he's a good microphone. And if you're on Fakeholders, if you don't have a good microphone, you're doomed. And you're not going to last very long over there. You're doomed.
Yeah, I know.
Good stuff. But you went all the way. You flew to England or Ireland to catch up with Joe.
He was very kind to me. He drove me all through.
It'd have been 2018 or thereabouts, Rollo. When did your mum die?
Mum died in 2018.
Okay, so it was 2018, 2019 you were there. Yep.
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah.
And he looked after you, and he's probably still traumatized from having you in the house with him. But
I don't think he expected
you
me to be exactly the same. I was angry.
Looked after your mother. You should never. This is why a family should always have a female in it. A female is the person that looks after the mother when they're going through the death part, not the male. The male should not have to do what you did.
It was the most difficult part of my life. Well, I
didn't have to do it. I luckily had a sister that was there doing it. To see your mother in that state, in the end part of their life. Will traumatize anyone.
She didn't die quickly either.
No, I believe it. But these things are not meant to be natural. It's meant to be the theme. There should be a.
Can you imagine what it's like? Can you imagine what it's like? Yeah. No, so wiping your mum's bum.
Yeah. These are not things that the male should have had to do. And there should have been. Now we've got NDIS and you would have had. Someone paid to come around and do that for you, because I totally do not think the son should look after the mother in that part.
And my pain in the ass brother wouldn't come back.
Yeah,
exactly. So my mum's, here we go. Someone join us?
Yeah, we did. It's probably a good time to join. We're not going for much longer, but
it was awful. It was one of the. G'day, Faker.
Good day, mates.
How you going, mate? We were just...
How are you going?
Good.
I was listening into the show. It was sound like you were wrapping up, so I thought I'd say hi. Hi.
Well, why not? And Ab, are you going to use bumpers from your daughters? One of the daughters that did the Christmas jingle bell thing type thing.
I have already used it as of last week, Rick, on your advice. Because of you, I probably wouldn't have thought about it. But thank you, Rick.
I love to hear that kind of vintage Christmas things. I don't care how old they are or whatever. It just sounds good,
yeah.
Particularly when, now she's now probably at university or finished university or whatever. But
are you kidding? She's busy fixing cars. Believe it or not.
Hey, I don't. I think there's a fantastic thing, Mr. Fakeologist. I think there's a fantastic.
She's rolling with the boys.
Fantastic. So she's not. So which ones involve? It's got the Chinese marriage thing. Is it the same one or is it a different one?
That's the youngest.
Okay. Right.
We were just discussing what kind of children they would make. They're called Wasians. I never heard that before. You ever heard of the term Wasian?
Wasian? No, not yet. But I just did it tonight. So fantastic.
Apparently, when a black guy marries an Asian, it's a Blasian. The children are Blasians.
Yeah. I don't think you get a lot of that, though. They don't kind of do that.
Oh, my daughter said it's very common here.
Really?
I don't. Not where I go, but I'm not in their world. You know that the children are in a different world, Rick. We don't know.
So I've got both my sons here at the moment, and I'm an outsider, but I'm an insider because I listen to their conversations. And my daughter's in New Zealand, exploring the South Island, seeing more than I've ever seen in my pathetic time.
Isn't it wonderful that you have provided them such facility that they can do all this and not have to worry about life?
She's worked extremely hard for my ex and earned a lot of money enough to be able to go and just travel back over in New Zealand. But she's always been that way. She's always been hitchhiking around New Zealand and the South Island. The only part of the
alone?
New Zealand
one,
alone, yeah, absolutely. She's like almost 6 foot tall, and you wouldn't want to mess with her if she got angry, just like a mother. I'll just say that one. And
6 foot tall, wow.
Yeah, so
an she's Amazon.
Tall.
Amazonian.
She's 5'11", you'll say that. But she's
that's
a trained.
That's very tall. Very tall for a woman.
Taller than me. Slightly taller than me.
Wait, is your ex? 6 foot?
No, she's 5'11 as well.
Your ex is huge. So your ex is taller than you?
Slightly. That's why when we went out in public, she had to walk on the lower side of the thing in case I looked like Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. And I remember saying,
what if she wore heels? She would be towering over you.
Guaranteed. And this was a conversation we had back in the day. And I said, I am not to look like Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. They look.
Yeah. So you had to wear flat shoes, and she probably. And you had to wear your elevator shoes.
So we're exactly the same height. Exactly. But if she wore heels, then I look like a dwarf. Like,
you really looked into each other's eyes back in the day.
Back in the day we did. But anyway. My daughter's having this, and she just went to the Milford Sound, and this is a giant ice. It's basically like Antarctica in the South Island. It's always this huge ice plateau. She's down there and getting a job there. My son's going to fly over and join her, and I'm going to fly over and join her as well in January. And we're going to
be on your record.
Yeah, no, she has worked so hard. She worked for me this time last year and earned, a fair bit of money, which started her off in her, she doesn't want to spend any of it, which is fantastic. I love having children that are budget conscious. I hate, that they understand that they've got the money now, but if you don't keep working, you're going to lose that money. And they're very budget conscious. Rollo, are you still alive? Are you?
A fool and his money are easily parted.
Parted, absolutely.
That's true. Rollo.
Yep, absolutely.
Rollo sounds a little drunk tonight.
No.
When am I not?
No, he's been.
You're fading fast today.
We've been the last part. We were talking about what he had to go through, and we're also talking about his trip to Ireland. to meet Del Qua and hoping to meet
just going through the old days, back with the old days.
The Rick and Rollo Nostalgia Hour.
That's why we talk about
the old days. That's very good, yeah. You need some new experiences, Rollo, so we can reminisce about them.
No, people need to understand how Rollo got to where he is and what happened with his mother is one of the reasons.
Oh, yeah.
And having to look after end-of-life protocol for a son to do that to his mother will wreck, emotionally destroy you, and it did, for sure, absolutely 100%.
Every time it comes up to Mother's Day, Mother's Day.
Yeah, go on.
And it upsets me because...
You got mummy issues? You got mummy issues?
Only at the end.
He had to be there for her end-of-life protocol, and that's... Literally wiping their bottoms or cleaning up vomit with your mother dying for a son is not normal. It should be their sister or their daughter does this stuff. A son should not be put through that. And
because the palliative care.
Yeah.
They did not take good care of her.
Look, I've heard some horror stories, Rollo. Horror stories about them. Yeah. Especially.
And it was awful.
Was she in Taree when this happened in that area?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. Well, what happened to my father, which I've talked about before, but he nearly died basically because he slipped over and broke his neck literally. After he sold a house for $1 million and got drunk and celebrated at Foster Club. He was sent to Taree Hospital and they said, the guy's drunk, send him home. Well, he had a broken neck. He nearly died and he got had to get medevaced to John Hunter. They worked out that he was about to, drop dead. They said, and his friend was also the registrar at Taree Base Hospital on weekends. He's a doctor. And he said, I wouldn't let my dog or cat be treated at that hospital. And so your mother was dealing with Taree Medical Services, which are probably the worst around this area. And so if it wasn't for you being there, it would have been some unqualified idiot dealing with what you had to go through. And that's why Joe, he obviously heard your pain and said, come over here. And you flew to Ireland in a severely mentally ill stress state when you went to Ireland.
I was destroyed. It's not about the money. It's about the,
qualification.
It was just about it was the awful care. Look, I don't know. I just needed to escape. And I got a little bit of money. And so I got on a flight. I had to fly from here to Dubai, then to Ireland, and then Joe Del Qua. Yep. Drove me all around, so it was fantastic. One of the funniest things was when Joe left me because we got so drunk one night and we were talking about chemtrails or something, I'm left in the middle of nowhere. I don't know where the fuck to do, so I had to talk to strangers. To find my way back to Joe's place because he blocked me on the phone. I found my way back. It was the bus driver said, here you go, off here. Now go down there and go down there is where you need to go. And then I knocked on Joe's door and I said, sorry, man, because I'd saved up by then. because it was like 6 hours and I hadn't.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
It was such a good trip.
Yeah, that was good. And he looked after you, and I spoke to him or heard him talking about it. But look, he came to your room to say, "Come over here, get out of there. You know, you've been through what you've been through."
No, that's good.
That was fantastic.
He's a fantastic guy. Yeah, fantastic guy. I hope he's still with us. I don't even know if he's still with us.
The only one that I'm concerned about was Yossarian, who I do not think is still with us, because I saw pictures of him and he looked like a bit of a wreck back then, but he just completely disappeared and you've never heard back from him. He was in Tasmania back then.
Yossarian, why do I forget him? I remember. He's a big drinker, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah. What was his other name? Yossarian, whatever. But I think he was in Tasmania and he used to pop in quite a bit over every now and then, but there's no sight nor sound of him, so he might not be around anymore. Maybe not. Anyway, we'll wind it up, man. You've done enough. I've done enough, that's for sure. I'm going to bed.
Let's ask, now we've got Aberrado Tim, what song would he like to go out with?
Rollo, we've already done. It's Cold Change by...
Let Timmy go.
Rollo. He can pick what he wants, but we've already organised. I've already said and sent the music, so the end of the show will be Cold Change by Midnight Oil. Get fucking with it, man.
All right. Lovely to talk to you guys.
Yeah, and Rollo, so last show will be next Sunday night. Oh,
have we got someone else, or did he just leave?
I don't know. But...
Hey. Oh.
Hey, it's well. Maybe it's like 2 seconds.
Who we got there?
Susie.
Hey,
Johnny come lately.
Hey, Susie.
Hey, Susie.
Do you hear
what's
me?
What's on your mind?
We can hear.
What's on your mind?
Yossarian was Johnny come lately.
Yeah, he could have been. Yeah, you're right.
He kept
changing his name. He was always out to get John Le Bon.
It's called a nickname. We all have nicknames.
But you have to keep changing your names when you're on Discord, because Fakeologist Discord kept getting destroyed. And if you went on there with your old name, you couldn't go back on there. So you want Johnny Kamali. Thank you, Susie. That's fantastic. You're on the money.
Well, I've only been listening for 9 minutes, right? And it's all sad stuff, and that doesn't ordinarily happen.
We've done. Yeah, you're listening to
Rick and Rollo.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too. Clicking on the donate link, truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
And Rollo, 59. I have not gotten out of the bed yet, and I am here with the finest fellas that I can think of.
There we are.
You all know their names.
Oh, right? I'm honored. I'm honored. Aren't you?
Rick and Rollo, number 59.
And yeah. We've got our number one. Susie, it reminds me of Flight of the Conchords. You're our number one.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard that one yet, Rollo. That's very insightful.
Yeah, it was 2 episodes ago. We were talking about Flight of the Conchords. Guaranteed.
I just heard that you were hanging up, and I haven't woken up.
We've been on for 2 hours or thereabouts, and I need to go and watch. I'm going to go and watch two more episodes. I'm going to, after I leave tonight, two more episodes of Stranger Things, which I'm now completely into.
Is it Blondie that they use the
Metallica. And Kate Bush.
Mm.
Not yet. I'm only on the first step. I've watched 4 episodes of the first series. So, and I've got both my sons here. One's killing aliens though, so he won't be involved.
Stranger Things is it on Netflix or is it on?
Yeah, the latest episodes are out now. The new episodes are going to drop on Christmas Day, and I'm telling you, an abs out there. Your children and your wife are not going to talk to you on Christmas morning. They'll be watching.
I'll be alone. I've got Netflix here. All right. I'll tell you funny. I watched Netflix the other day. I watched some crazy thing on Netflix the other day.
What?
Then my wife, Chris, I can't remember. It was something obscure.
She
rang me and said, I can't watch Netflix anymore because Netflix are such tight asses where you can't share your Netflix account.
No, not anymore.
Apparently at my place, I have, like, because I use it last, and has to ring Netflix to then get it switched back to her. And she said, fuck it, you use it because I don't need to watch it.
It's the same with Apple TV. They know if someone's in another household sharing
it. I wanted to watch that thing that you suggested Severance. That was on Apple.
Severance.
See, again, how many fucking things have I got on here? I've got Netflix, I've got Hulu, I've got Paramount Plus, I've got Amazon Prime, and I hardly watch any of them. I'd rather talk to you guys.
Yeah, well, of course
you will.
Give it a go. I've watched 4 episodes, and it's good, but Johnny Depp's ex, Winona Forever. Wino Forever.
Winona Ryder. Really? She does. She overacts. I would prefer the other Johnny Depp's ex. You know, the one that shit the bed.
So would I.
You'd roll around in it.
No, Rollo. She didn't do that. The dogs did a poo.
Bullshit!
There's no way that
she had a big punch up. They had a big bloody
Rollo.
Did you watch it?
Probably own the same dog as you've got. Rosie would poo in your bed before.
There's no way. They had a big punch up. They were not a punch up, but they had a big drink up. And she was pissed off with something. And she took a ginormous shit in the middle of his king-size bed.
Did you see that with your own eyes?
No, I didn't. But there was a big court case. Ask Susie. Susie, did Johnny... What was her name? I forget her name. The pretty one from
Amber Heard.
Amber Heard.
Mm. Rhymes with.
Yeah, rhymes with turd. Now did Susie? Do you believe that she took that? Susie, talk.
A woman would not poo in a bed, Rollo.
She did.
That's what he won
the case.
I know
he had a female lawyer.
Did he prove who was in the bed in front of a judge? Is that the case? The poo case?
The poo case, yeah.
You gotta go in the bed.
Media
distraction.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Hi, Susie. Good morning. Amber Heard is a
Rick. Rick, yes. let Ab and or Tim.
No,
and,
no, no. We have our own show. This is the Rick and Rollo show. I don't want to interrupt. I was on mute just so I could listen to all this goodness.
No, Ab said hi, Susie.
That's all I said.
Yeah, I just wanted to say hi too. You guys were hanging up, so that's all.
Oh no, we're going to wind out with the Midnight Oil song Cold Change and then
What's in your hand, Susie?
The phone. I haven't even put my feet on the ground yet this morning. I woke up.
Oh, lucky. Yeah, it's miserable out. -4, snowing.
We don't have -4, no, do we?
We just I was at the beach. I went to the beach today and I went to the water
beach.
And
oh
it was
my God.
Beautiful. And I dived in. And I was standing up, and then I walked back to the shore, and it was the water closer to where the waves were breaking was warm. It was just beautiful. Then I went the second time, two times, and
I thought you weren't going in the water because of the sharks.
Oh, well, you missed
that was last year.
That was Rick and Rollo show before. No, I was in the water last week on Monday. Monday. My son saw a fin in the water. He was quite sure of it, and he is a trained lifeguard. And he goes, Dad, you can't go. And then I said, I'm the one that's scared of sharks, not you. And I went a bit further out. There was apparently a shark swimming around the dolphins, but I wasn't worried about it because I was too close to the shore. But apparently, if you watch, what was that movie, Rollo? Sharknado.
That's hilarious.
Even if I stood on my balcony in my backyard, I could get eaten by a shark. Or what shark? No, no. So. I said to my son, I'm the one that got terrified by Jaws in 1975. I'm the one that's paranoid of sharks. I'm going to go a little bit further than what you're telling me. But he said, no, Dad, there's a shark out there. I think there possibly was, but it wasn't bothering me. So I'm not that scared of sharks, to be honest.
We have a lot of lakes around here, right? And obviously there's no ocean in Ohio. When I was a kid, that Piranha movie scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, I saw them all, Susie. I saw two, and three. And the flying piranha one I loved. I thought it was fantastic.
Me too.
That was James Cameron's. James Cameron, you know, the guy that did Terminator?
Can you believe it?
Yeah, it was Piranha 2. It was his first movie, yeah. That's classic.
Yeah, but the one that they could fly because they lived near a nuclear power station. Like, Ab lives very close to one. Apparently, they make the piranhas fly. So,
our government's going to give another load of billions to refurbish it for the 50th time. I don't know how many times you can redo a plan, but they're doing it. But I don't think they do anything either. I think they just steal the money.
I think so. And did you hear that guy, did I share that thing on that South African, whatever his name is, the Germ show?
I listen to him. He's good.
That nuclear guy that has the Scottish research.
Stephen Young, I think.
Yeah. He's got a qualification like Frank in nuclear science, and he said it's a scam. It's a total scam.
I got to get him on. I got to get him on the show.
You got to get him on.
Susie, can you book him, please?
Susie, Stephen Young, the Scottish.
Dano, if you want me to book someone.
Book him, Dano. Book him, Dano.
Book Stephen Young on the show for the fakeologist so we can talk about fake nukes.
That guy nailed it, and I sent it to Melissa from Cutting Through the Matrix, and I said,
all right, she's not a believer, huh? Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but I said, I didn't get invited back after, you know, I think I had one of the most highest rating show on that. It was up there.
I don't even listen anymore. It's still on my feed, but I don't listen to the cutting.
Well, I had.
Are you still listening to it?
Sometimes, but I had my appearance has up there with the most listens on any of the shows. But I do not think I'll be back on there because I was talking about nuclear stuff. And plus, I went in some crazy areas that.
Alan Watt never talked about stuff like that, so it doesn't fit the.
No. No, it's not.
Alan Watt was kind of promoting the English Empire in a way. Because I think, don't you think, Rick, that if you talk about something that you say is the enemy, you're kind of promoting it? If you always talk about the Jews, aren't you promoting them, really? Possibly, the idea?
Well, possibly. Well, possibly. And you've got the number one.
I know.
What's his name?
I'm trying to make it seem like how ridiculous it is.
To me,
it's ridiculous, but I get a lot of heat for it. But I've had my stance for 12 years. I ain't changing.
I just think there's a lot of theirs in a lot of other people's works. And I've been listening to Dylan Pohl's show, and he is basically a fakeologist. And he is the biggest show. He's on the, by all accounts, what he says, he's a fakeologist. He doesn't believe in anything anymore. And James Dylan Pohl is one of the biggest English podcasters out there. So fakeology.
He's a journalist of some description,
Not only is a journalist, he also went to Cambridge University. He was a BBC journalist of high repute, and now he is. I'll say this again. He is basically saying everything you say, yet he's on one of the biggest shows ever. So
maybe I'll do some cross promotion, Rick.
You may as well.
And you
may as well book him. Yeah, you book James Dylan, the Dylan Pohl show, and I enjoy it because he has some really good guests. Just like that South African guy, Germ. Forget about what they're saying. I go with what their guests are saying. That's who I'm listening to. And I'm baffled to hear the same stuff as you might have been talking about 10, 12 years ago, now on mainstream media. Big time.
They knew it was going to get out eventually, so they have to. They can't stop the river. They can steer it. So I think they're going to steer it into the ditch. I'm not saying he's going to do it, but he might. Always be on the lookout.
Oh, no. Guaranteed. This is going south. And, they're going to move the word fake into the ditch. And that's what they're saying.
They'll put it into the UFO world.
The interesting thing is that a lot of their guests are saying, look, I started getting into the fake vaccine thing, and all of a sudden I don't believe the moon landings are real. That's the common thing they all say. And if you do your research, that's exactly what you should come out with. If you look into vaccines and you discover you've been lied to by your mainstream media.
Absolutely, Rick. It's a natural progression. Is it tide turning on vaccines?
No, not at all. It's not turning positive. Most people are aware that these things were a weapon. And that guy that...
Then why are they taking them?
Of course, your useless eaters are going to do whatever they're told. But a majority of what I'm saying is the big... I'm talking about Dylan Pohl and Germ and all those UK column people. They are saying... Yeah.
They're again
not to take them, and the moon landings are fake, and maybe the world's square and flat. That's literally what they're saying. So if you think that what you're saying on fakeology is rebellious, these are the mainstream people are saying exactly the same thing right now, and I'm listening to these shows. I'm getting the same vibes. So it's happening. Where's this going to go? I've got no idea.
Probably into the ditch.
That's why Trump kept going on about the word fake news. He keeps saying fake news, and that means he's taking the word fake into the ditch. Guaranteed.
Well, it's just anything he doesn't agree with is fake, which...
Well, exactly. Well, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
So what it does is it means that
it's basically it's
dismissive.
Red light, camera ahead. Red light, camera ahead.
I heard that one.
Rollo. Hey, Rollo.
Yeah.
I shared that Tom Delpra and Del Qua song with Tom Delpra. He listened to it.
Oh, good. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it is. He got a kick out of it. I did too. I listened to it 100 times.
Which one is it?
Who listened to it?
Tom Delpra. Yeah. There's a Del Qua on guitar.
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic.
Del Qua and Rolo.
To you?
Tom Delpra singing from 2015. I mean, there's a lot of that I'm going to capture. I'm going to make a big old dang-gone thing of it.
What did Delpra reach out to you, Susie?
I reached out to him because he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
You know, and he's still going? Did he get back to you?
He got back to me, yes.
Oh, good. So is he coming back to the server? What's he up to? We need an update.
He said that he...
He's doing what we were talking about before. He's doing... he's a care worker.
Yeah, I don't know. He didn't give me any details about what he's currently doing.
Well, that's what he's doing, I'll tell you now.
Yeah.
He's a care worker.
Yeah.
Is he coming back?
I asked him to, only so that everyone could shit their pants. But
he occasionally appears and sends stuff on the Rick and Rollo site. He isn't.
Oh, does he? I didn't know that.
Yeah. He hasn't disappeared, but he's got his own life now. You know, he's probably doing a more important job than he's actually looking after
that's
people.
More important than the fake ologist community.
Doing black backflips. What was his band? And in England, we were going mental.
Nutmeg.
Yeah. That would be awesome that he's doing care work now. So,
you know, he's been doing it for ages, Rollo. He's with a British, you know, medical.
Yeah. He was so beautiful. He was so beautiful. When I was in Ireland, and Joe Del Qua had a picture of the actual, what was it called? The Nutmeg album. Honestly, he would have turned me homosexual because he was so good looking back.
He's fantastic performer, but he's just been really interesting. He's been a really good. He's got a great mind. He's one of the oldest fakeologists on the fakeologist network.
Yeah, we got to get him back.
Well, he does. He occasionally get a message from him. We get a message from on Rick and Rollo,
and the skid mark. We've got to get the golden skid mark back.
Yeah, for sure. I shall contact him this week. And so the last show we're going to do is next Saturday night. Rick and Rollo, the Rick and Rollo 60th.
Yeah,
60. So Christmas special next Saturday night. It'll be at home.
Yeah, because we don't go off on holidays.
You're listening
Rick
to
and Rollo 59.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Now,
Rick and Rollo, episode number 59 on the 13th of December, 2025. And we've got Susie, Ab, and Rollo for the last... I'm going to go soon. I've got things to do and things to watch.
Tom Delpro will be in the third part episode of the COVID stories. He came back after
Susie. Thank you.
Yeah,
I haven't finished the second part yet.
I'm taking them in order. You don't have. So for all of you people out there who are like, "Dude, it's too much John LeBron." Well, he'll be gone for a year in a while. So just everyone hold their horses. Yeah. The story tells itself. I'm taking it one episode at a time. I'm not rearranging things. I'm not cherry picking.
Nope.
I'm just going in the order in which they are received. So it's
nice. Well done, Susie. Well played. And I got to find that. Audio, listening to that.
Yeah, if your audio is warbly, I can't help you. So if it's low, I can turn you up. That's about it. Yeah, so that totally sometimes I do have to skip people because I don't know what you're talking about. But that's all.
Oh, Susie, don't worry. You're part of the crew. You're part of the crew now.
She's part of the family.
Susie, you've done a really, really good
job. You're a fakeologist. We're
proud to have you as our Rick and Roller number one fan, Susie, from wherever you are. Ohio or from
Yeah, I'm in Ohio. That's great news to hear. You know, I haven't even put my feet on the ground yet. I'm still just here.
Well, Ryan, what we'll do, because I'm going to go, but we'll wind up, we're going to go with Cold Change by Midnight Oil, which is one, again, their greatest song ever. I'll send that to
Rick, I want to ask you, in case you don't come to the fakeologist server tomorrow, Wings. Any interest? Okay, good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, great album.
I just listened to that because Mr. E did something about Back to the Egg. And he put the album cover up, and I remembered it, so I looked it up. Man, that's a pretty great album. That was completely panned. It was panned. I read the reviews. They just dumped on it.
Did you – so Germ from Germ Warfare did Mr. E show recently as well?
Yeah, just one time though, right? Or another one?
It was the same one.
But, yeah, I heard it. He just republished it.
Yeah, but I'm baffled that he actually does allow a lot of extremely controversial stuff on the show. Yeah, why not?
Germ will listen to that. We'll play that, yeah.
No, it's good. No, this will wind it up, and if you want to keep talking, just keep talking, but we'll end with Cold Change by...
All right. I'll head out.
Jesus, no, you don't need to head out. I was going to say, and you can just keep talking, but right now I'll send Joel the song, Cold Change by Midnight Oil.
One of Australia's best exports.
Absolutely. This was before they became as pathetically lefty as they did become.
Yeah.
Woke. But, We'll wind it up.
I have a wonder, Rick, because we live in a liberal world, so we're in the minority anyway. So let's be honest.
Hey, Tim, Abreta, you're not going to let him go.
They're just going where the crowd goes. They're not liberals either, but they just suck it up to the people. That's my take.
Dang. Yeah, no, you're right.
I wanted to go out with Dave J's.
No,
Rick, I wanted to ask you, in your country, I know you're not a political guy, but when one of your MPs is elected, do they ever defect to the other party in the middle of their term?
It has kind of happened because what we've got over here is the perfect storm of, we've got your left-wing Labor. And they're right wing Labor.
Yeah.
But we just had
one guy do that. And that's why I call it the Uniparty, because you know, they don't care that you voted one way or t'other. They just say, you know what? I'm going with the government. Electorate.
We've had that over here.
That's proof to me that they don't. It's but one party. Come on. Just be honest about it.
So we've got in Australia, we've got ALP, which is the Australian Labor Party, and then witty graffitiists have sprayed the word another liberal party next to ALP. So it can mean the Australian Labor Party or another liberal party, which is basically...
that's good. I like that.
So it's the same thing. So we've got no difference. They're both the same lot of people. We've just had the funeral, a state funeral for Graham Richardson, and we talked about Graham Richardson last week, Rollo. This guy was the shadiest, shiftiest guy that's ever existed in Australian politics, to me. And I know people that knew him. But he did a good radio show when he retired from politics, and I actually enjoyed some of his shows on 2GB. But his books was called Whatever It Takes. And on the front cover of the book, he's doing the 666. He's got his eye on the left-hand side with the 666 logo. That's the cover of his book. His funeral.
The Kabbalah.
Yeah. Okay, so they had his funeral, a state funeral, just like Laws had a state funeral 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
I can't believe he had a state funeral. Yes, does that mean the government puts it on?
Puts the whole thing on. And so Graham Richardson's funeral was on
Thursday.
What
does that tell you?
Exactly.
It's the government media complex, right?
Yeah, and at Graham Richardson's funeral was the biggest amazing collection of left and right all there, all groveling about how wonderful he was. On display. So we had the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese. We had right-wing politicians like in Australia we've got blatant right-wing politicians. Peter Dutton, the whole lot. Thank you. They were all there.
Oh, is that your son?
Yes, he just walked past.
Good on him.
Yeah. And they were all there groveling over a guy that represented the, apparently to us normies, the left. The right were all there, and including, what's his name? Joe Hockey flew back he was a massive Labor politician. They're all there groveling over this guy, and it proved to me that both left and right are the same people, because they were there making, sickly speeches of how wonderful this guy was, even though he was the shiftiest guy literally in Australian politics for the last 50 years. So we've been conned. There is no such thing as a left and right. It's just those that are part of.
I love how you got a guy named Joe Hockey there. We live in Canada. I've never heard of anyone with that surname.
That would be cool if we had one. Joe Hockey, his surname, he's from the lineage of the real powerful people, not Jewish, not Catholic, not whatever, his grandfather, he was before I actually announced this 5 years ago, it's now been deleted offline, but he was known as the mysterious Jesuit spy who took over what became Israel in 1915 and ran it till 1947 when it turned into Israel.
Who was that?
Joe Hockey's grandfather. He was
out. His name was Hockey. Is that Hockey?
Yeah, it's been anglicized for Hockey, but it was this Hockinian, and he is part of that what's that tribe that apparently the Turks tried to exterminate them, and all these. I say they're the most powerful people that you don't talk about.
Azerbaijan? No, Armenians.
Armenians. And so he was an Armenian.
Oh, they have the last name Assian. It's always Assinian or something.
And so Joe Hockey flew back, read, and did all these amazing things. He is now Australia's representative. He's the Australia's representative in Washington. His grandfather took over what became Israel in 1915. He disappeared. When I say disappeared, literally, when you Google Joe, his grandfather, he disappeared, and there's no record of who he was or what he did. Yet, his grandson, is now, running the business side of Australia. Oh, it's incredible.
That is interesting.
That's the only thing I'd love to talk to. What's his name? It was on your show, the guy that goes on about the Jesuits. He was 100% correct. Because that guy.
Johnny Cerucci.
Cerucci is 100% correct what he says when you look into Joe Hockey's grandfather. When New Zealand and Australian troops kicked the Turks out of Beersheba, Joe Hockey's grandfather ran it from 1915 to 1947 when they had the Exodus, the famous movie, which was Paul Newman and all that, the Hollywood version of what happened. And this is not a major story, but yet it's very hard to find out anything about it. So the Jesuit spy, international Jesuit spy, that allowed Israel to become Israel was in fact an Armenian Jesuit spy. So
very interesting.
Cerucci is 100% correct.
We don't get that history. I've never heard of it.
And you're going to, except for the Rick and Rollo show.
But it's the Jews. It's the Jews, Rick. Come on. Exactly. They're all crypto Jews.
Look, I can't say any more than what I've discovered and shared. And now when I go into try and Google into research, you cannot, this guy, Hockey's grandfather, is just disappeared offline. It's gone. You cannot find out about what he got up to. But it was a fact to be told, 100%. Anyway, we're going to go bang, 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 bang. Cold chisel, cold change.
See you tomorrow. Bang.
See you tomorrow. And you will be told.
Okay, good. Be told. Bye.